on the Radio, poetry in and around the ACT. Today, we speak with poets and editors involved in a new publication, The Book of Birds, from Canberra's Recent Work Press. Plus, The Rhyming Bugle, poetry news from around the region. For Art Sound FM, I'm Kimberly K. Williams. On Monday, September 25th, at Smith's Alternative in Civic at 7 p.m., a new volume of poems will launch that brings together poems from Canberra and all around Australia that reflect on the abundance and wonder of birds, native and other. Today, the editors of the Book of Birds, Leslie Lebkowitz and Penelope Leyland, visit Poetry on the Radio. We began by asking them how the book came about and about the contributions from visual artist Fenya T. Ringel. First, Leslie Lebkowitz spoke about the project, then Penelope Leyland. I thought we would start this conversation about the Book of Birds just by asking, how did this book come to be?
It all came about by just a collision of circumstances that I'd moved into a house where I had a gangang that would come quite close to me, and I was so fascinated by it, I ended up writing a short poem about it, and I knew that Penn had, so I sent it to Penn, and then I don't know why we were meeting, but we were meeting, and you said, oh, and Paul Cliff's got one too. And then you also had some bird poems from Russell Irwin. And I, perhaps foolishly, said, we could do a bird book. That was the genesis of it. And then Penn approached Shane.
From Recent Work Press.
From Recent Work Press. And Shane suggested that we expand the book across the country, which we did.
We also decided to have illustrations in the book. And originally we were going to just go with existing illustrations. And among other people, my sister said, no, why don't you get original artworks to illustrate the book? And that's what we've ended up with. A book of poems relating to birds by Australian poets from around the country, illustrated by Fenya. With original artworks.
I knew Fenya a little before this project, and we were sitting there thinking, who can we invite to do this? And I had another artist friend who didn't quite fit the bill, but when I showed Penn some of Fenya's work, you were pretty enthusiastic. So then it was really easy to get in touch with Fenya, and she's really, I mean, it's just lovely. Her happiness at being part of the project. She's quite an accomplished printmaker and has work available as cards, as images to go on your wall, a variety of things. The cover of the book is one of hers, and there are altogether about 12, I think, through the book. And it looks terrific. It's a good poetry book, but it's a fantastic book of birds visually and poetically.
And one of the reasons for that was we wanted to perhaps appeal to people who wouldn't normally pick up or buy a book of poetry, but might, either as a gift or for themselves, pick up a book that combined poetry and visual art.
We asked Penelope Leyland and Leslie Lebkowitz to read some poems from the book.
Well, we could read the three gangang poems that started off this whole mad process.
So if I start with the one that Paul Cliff had written. Raffish. Evolution had a bad hair day the day it crafted you. Trying for the galah, some say, but only part way there by the shift's end and setting you aside on the workbench to start anew. Meantime, wily you, inveigled yourself clean away. But that's all spilt milk now. And despite your undeniable shortcomings and prototypic state, poor finish and raggedy style, your blighted, unkempt topknot, untuned call and cockamamie Marty Feldman eye, you're quite endearing, or at least compelling, in your individual way. We've grown attached to you and care for you as much as the galah, some even more today, and are not averse to featuring you in our big book of Australian birds at all.
It's a little bit of an etiological poem, right? Etiological, mythological stories are the source of animals, the characteristics that make them unique. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Escaping even from the bench.
The bad hair day. Your gang poem is quite funny too.
I've called mine the gang. The gang gangs look like they've slept in their feathers. Shabby chic, stocky, none of the parrot sleek. Grey suits, too baggy, wispy hat hair, bleary. The dying creaking croak of a two-pack a day. The munchies of a pothead in the hawthorn. But try these berries, man. Best berries ever, I swear.
The sounds in that poem, what happens in part is that the sounds really capture all the K sounds. It's such so crackling. And then when it leaps to the pothead, you don't see it coming. And it's just really hilarious.
I'm glad I'm going third because I refer to both Paul's and Penelope's poems. It's called Other Ways. I keep his photo on my desktop and often open it. He's beautiful. Layered grey feathers rimmed with white and settled in casual perfection, the red mop top PL and PC have likened to the hair of someone rising rumpled from their bed. His eye holds mine. Fearless, intimate, my offering a seed at his feet and in his beak. All these are wonderful, but what draws me is his gaze that says, there are other worlds and other species and other ways of living.
That ending is so beautiful.
Thank you.
Puts me in mind a little bit of a Mary Oliver poem where you get this feeling like you understand existence just a hair better for a moment. So gratifying.
Mary Oliver and I practice in the same Buddhist tradition.
Oh, that's interesting. What is that thing about birds that makes us so compelled to study them enough to want to try and capture them in words?
It's interesting, isn't it? Because so many of the poems that have ended up in this book are not observational poems. They're not poems about this is what this bird looks like. They're poems about how a bird makes me feel or how humans interact with birds, or so. Yeah, there's very few that are strictly just, you know, descriptions. It could be a painting. There's a lot more going on, and I think you're right. And maybe it's the flight thing, that's got to be a part of it. And I think your poem, Kimberly, in the book, The Swallows Are Chasing, is perfectly emblematic of that we see in birds that transcends our mundane lives. And so maybe you'd like to read that one.
Okay. The swallows are chasing. And the swallows are chasing God, mid-air, skimming the green pools, edging the cliffs. The swallows are chasing God, building their nests in the O of his name. The swallows are chasing God, and we must chase the swallows as far as our flat feet and wingless backs will allow. Around the fat cottonwood, over the gravel, across the bridge that spans El Rito, past the bear spotted here notice, down to the tip of the massive ruby sky. When I'm watching birds be birds, all else can fall away. You know how in psychology they often talk about the flow, right? It's when you're writing or you're mm-hmm. creating and you get into that space where time mm-hmm. disconnects from you or you disconnect from it and you just are absorbed in what you're doing. And it's sort of a natural, for lack of a better word, happy place to be. And usually that I think that comes through creation. But when I watch birds, especially the birds here, because really what other continent could have such an incredible, even not just a continent, but just the ACT, just mm-hmm. this region mm-hmm. has such this incredible birds. Mm. So maybe that's part of it too. My co-host, Peter Searles, had a question.
I want to know how people know which birds are which. There are so many, and people seem to, just this book is testament to that. People know such a wide variety of them.
You should get a manual of bird identification. The Graham Pizzi one is the sort of national standard, I suppose, for bird identification. I've got a copy in my car, and I've got a copy on my bookshelf, and I've got a copy in our place in Tasmania, because there's so many birds that have minor differences too. So you really do need a book of identification. But yeah, it's just to interest yourself. But one interesting thing about birds in the ACT is how the bird life here has altered over the decades. And in the time I've lived in Canberra, species have become common here that I never would have seen in my childhood. Like the crested pigeon, for instance, was always something that you didn't really see until you got into sort of northern New South Wales. The corella, you never saw corellas in the ACT when I was a child, and now they're very common. Also, I think, I don't know whether this is borne out by the facts, but since the big bushfires in the ACT, the white-backed magpie, which is the sort of southern strain of the magpie, has become a lot more common. And I wonder whether it's because they were all pushed north by the fires, escaping the fires, and then started interbreeding with the black-backed magpies. I don't know, though.
Just go and sit in the bush. There's lots of birds that I see and enjoy. And then when I get home, I get out my specifically little Canberra handbook, and sometimes I'll look up what they are. But it's the experience that's more important, I think, for the writers in the book. Not to gainsay Penelope's information, but I think it's just, you get the lift off by being with them. And we have so many mountains around Canberra, reserves where you can do that really easily. Just take an hour, and how many birds are you going to see in an hour?
And I think something that I noticed in the book was that sometimes they come as a moment of surprise as well. And I think, Kimberly, your poem in the book captures one of those moments too, where you weren't going out to find a bird, but it created a moment between you and somebody else.
Yes,
and
the
that you captured
plover
it.
One.
Yeah. Would you be able to read that one?
The plover on campus. She ran out in front of us like a mother with a flat tire, trying to flag down help from the side of the road. The man's English kept cracking like a stick broken into several uneven pieces. Cambodia, kill, so, many. Life here, good, mother. He points to the loud plover who, like the killdeer, attempts to distract us from her chick. See? Mother protect baby. Yes, I nod. Cambodia worse for women, 100%. Some men, not nice. Too cold for baby, he points. See, mother make warm. Here, birds free.
At one point, I spent some time looking at the NLA catalogue, and I could only come up with one other book that had collected a lot of bird poems. Amazingly, only one other book, and it was published in the 50s. So I went to the library, and I was hoping that it wasn't just Australian poems, and it wasn't. So I think there's a good chance that we have published the first full-length collection of contemporary Australian bird poems.
That's incredibly exciting. And while we're saying that, let me just mention too then that there's a launch for this on Monday, the 25th of September at 7 p.m. at Smith's. And it should be very exciting, 7 p.m.
And we have poets, some interstate poets reading, and a lot of local poets who have poems in the book will be reading their poems. Mm. So it should be a great evening.
Mm.
And it's free.
I wanted to ask, it's probably a similar question that the people who write the guidebooks to birds face, how to arrange the collection of poems. How did you decide on what you know, where you finally arrived?
It just seemed to fall naturally into sections where the poems would actually speak to each other. So there's a number of poems about sulfur-crested cockatoos, and we just called that section sulfur. And it's different observations of the same thing. Similarly, the three Gang Gang poems are grouped together. There's another section with poems about the raptors, you know, the eagles. There's a section called Pied, which looks at everything from peewees to magpies and butcher birds and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's sections on urban birds, and there's two poems about chooks, which mm-hmm. are lovely, but you wouldn't normally find poems about chooks in a book about birds, I don't think, but they're just the things that came in. There's a few poems about water birds. Yeah, so it just seemed logical to do it that way. The artworks are not specifically relating to the poems normally. So Fenya's artworks are her own take on bird life and what it means to her. We've sort of nominally arranged the artworks in the book so they kind of lend themselves to the part of the book they're in, but they're not specifically created to illustrate. They're not illustrations, they're artworks in their own right.
Shane Strange is the publisher of this. Did he have a lot of feedback, or did he just sort of take the manuscript and...
Mainly the editing was done by Leslie and me. We were very, very fortunate to get some generous funding from Arts ACT, from the ACT government, for the publication and the printing. So Shane was responsible for the design and the printing and typesetting, and obviously, you know, it's branded as a recent work press book because that's a great brand in the poetry world these days. It's a very prestigious brand, and so we're very grateful to have Shane publish the book for us. Yeah, so the funding we got from the ACT government enabled us to pay the artist, to pay the poets, which is, we have to say, it's not always the case when you're a poet and you get a book in a poem in an anthology or even in a journal. You often don't get any recompense for that. And it also allowed us to pay for the design and the typesetting and, of course, the printing of the book.
So it's just a beautiful quality book.
And can I say with some pride that, I mean, Penn and I did a lot of work on our grant application, and one of the things we wanted to be able to do was to pay the poets something approaching a slightly fairer price. And I've had a couple of people come up to me and say, I've never had that much for a poem. And it really wasn't that large an amount, but we were working by the ASA standards, and we used the lower end of the Australian Society of Authors standards for this kind of publication, and still poets were blown away by getting as much money. So it's really a comment on the poor treatment of creatives in our culture.
Mm-hmm. I might just add that one of our motivating things in trying to get funding for it was the fact that so many creators have been terribly impacted by COVID.
Mm-hmm.
People who would normally sell books at festivals were all cancelled. Readings were all cancelled. Some publications were cancelled also. Right. So it was just a small attempt to try and create opportunities for people to at least be involved in a project that had some funding attached to it.
Book of Birds has work by Canberra area poets, but also by others from all around Australia.
We've been fortunate to get some quite what I would regard as luminaries of the poetry world.
Mm-hmm.
I might just read one by Kevin Brophy.
And Kevin will be reading on the night of the launch. He's coming up from Melbourne for the launch.
Mm.
It's called What the Finch Knows. The finch knows mainly one thing. Its joy is full of it, body a quiver with sensible fears of what today might slide shadowy over it. The finch knows to keep each eye on each side of its world as it splashes in a roadside puddle of light and sand and broken water. The finch knows mainly this one thing. Its love is full of it. It fills trees with twisting flight. The finch plays close to others out of fearful love and disappears into leafy worlds when the near wind hisses like a cruel husband frightening his latest wife. The finch is loved for being small, bright, neat, fast. It knows every seed and spring in every wrinkle of its fearful, songful world. The finch knows how to live in joyful fright and fret, knows every shadow in every corner of its world. The next one's by Judith Beveridge, and it's called Kookaburra. And I really like this one because it's so unexpected, the mood it takes. This is not Kookaburra's Laughing in an Old Gum Tree by any means. Kookaburra. All night I hear the comedy of your grief, the lynched note, the manic lyric, your cheering, self-throttling riff of grief. There is sobbed cackle, panicked hilarity when you stretch your fretted neck to the plectrum of a dry leaf. No lyrebird's pickpocket throat could turn your tragic joke. A high-heeled descant down, then up a stair. Is it laughter Kafka could invent? Accompaniment to a grandiloquent event? Oh, bird, who can mimic my keening note? I know what touches us all with its simple vote. Oh, yes, you seem to quip. Death is life at its most burlesque.
Next, Leslie Lapkowitz reads another of her poems from Book of Birds.
All the rusty hinges. All the rusty hinges in the sky creak open and release clouds of yellow-crested flying white. This is heaven with no holds barred. Heaven claiming first place on the podium and making sure we know about it. Pouring into and over every inch of sky and branch and newly planted garden, flapping and screaming and cavorting to shred your other loves.
The next one is a gorgeous poem by a local poet and artist, Jackie Mallins. It's called Epiphanies Have Wings. Chase them like a child chases seagulls. Or stay still, be quiet. If you are engrossed in what intrigues you about the world and how to live in it, one might come closer. Curious. Don't look, even from the corner of your eye, even if one squawks for your attention. If it is your epiphany, it will only swoop when it knows you are ready. Put its fat, hot chip right into your hand. It was a deliberate choice to end the book with Jackie Mallins' poem Epiphanies, because it seemed it doesn't actually mention birds. I mean, it is epiphanies that she's writing about, but epiphanies that put chips in your hand, so one suspects that they're
seagull epiphanies.
Seagull epiphany. But it seemed to encapsulate the entire zeitgeist of the book, I guess, where it's, is this about birds? Is it about people? Is it about birds and people? Is it about
being alive?
Being alive, yes.
Today, we've spoken with Leslie Lapkowitz and Penelope Leyland, the editors of Book of Birds, a collection from Recent Work Press. The book's launch is on Monday, September 25th at 7 p.m. at Smith's Alternative in Civic. Leslie Lapkowitz and Penelope Leyland will be there, along with our program's co-host, me, Kimberly K. Williams. Other contributors who are expected include Kevin Brophy from Melbourne and Ross Donlan from Castlemaine, Victoria, who was on our program just recently. I'm Kimberly K. Williams.
The Rhyming Bugle. On Monday, September 25 at 7 p.m. at Smith's Alternative in Civic, The Book of Birds, a collection from Recent Work Press, will launch. This month, the Manning Clark House reading on September 28 at 7 p.m. presents Paul Collis, Rose Lucas, and Jen Crawford. Paul Collis is a Barkindji poet whose book of poetry, Nightmares Run Like Mercury, appeared in 2021 from Recent Work Press. His novel, Dancing Home, won the Unipon Award for a previously unpublished Indigenous author in 2016 and was named ACT Book of the Year in 2019. Rose Lucas, a Melbourne poet, critic, academic and foundation editor at Liquid Amber Poetry Press, has four collections, including Increments of the Everyday, Puncher and Watman, 2022. Jen Crawford, New Zealand-born and raised, is the author of eight poetry books and chapbooks, including Coal, Cordite Books, 2016. In 2017, she and Rina Kikuchi co-edited Poet to Poet, Contemporary Women Writers from Japan. Poetry on the Radio is produced weekly on unceded First Nations country in the studios of Art Sound FM and airs Sundays at 4:30 p.m. and again at 10:30 p.m. on Mondays, and online at artsound.fm. Series hosts are Kimberly K. Williams and Peter Searles, who produce the program with me, Peter Monahan. Find out more on the Poetry on the Radio page under the Programs tab at artsound.fm. The music on today's program is Owen Springs Reserve 2014 for vibraphone and field recording by Claire Edwards from John Rose and Hollis Taylor's album Absolute Bird. Our theme is an imagining of an ancient Greek hymn to the muse Calliope by Gregorio Paniagua and the Atrium Musica de Madrid.